I bet it's common around here. What's that? I ask. Women like that? Josie nods to the cougar. She's probably married to some B-list actor or some Hollywood exec, and she's lonely. She won't cheat with the pool boy at her house, but will definitely come to the spa and hook up. Did you just make that up in your head, or is it something you've read in one of your novels? Josie shrugs. I've thought about it a lot, actually. Wondering what I would be like if Liam took me with him when he left. Shit happens for a reason, Josie. I know. But I wonder about things all the time. And even more so since he dropped a colossal bomb last night. I sit up and face her. Her eyes drop and her finger spins her engagement ring back and forth. I look down at my hand, now bare, but still harboring a faint tan line. I took my rings off after Harrison kissed me the first time. I didn't want to, but felt that I was cheating on my love for Mason, or close to it with the feelings I was having toward him. It saddens me to be without my rings, but Harrison deserves my finger to be free of something he didn't place there. What did Liam say to you? Josie fiddles with the tie on her swimsuit. I look over my shoulder at the cougar. Apparently my subconscious doesn't want to miss anything. It's like a bad soap opera playing out on a live stage. I turn back, raising my eyebrow to let her know I'm waiting. I can't be mad at him, but I can be hurt. Josephine Preston, what in the blue hell are you talking about? Liam and Sam. I shake my head, not understanding where she's going with this. When they were together, she got pregnant. My mouth drops open, slowly. Josie doesn't look at me, but her eyes gaze over the pool before dropping her hands back to her lap. Liam told me he doesn't have any children other than Noah.
He doesn't. She miscarried.
Wow. I don't know what to say, I reply. I sit back and resume my position. My daiquiri sits half full. I pick it up and take a long pull through the straw.
He was using her for sex. He said he never wanted to have kids with anyone but me. When she told him, he freaked out. She wanted to get married and already had a nanny picked out. He left her, and then she called him to say she had miscarried.
I'm calling bullshit. Look how shady Sam is. I bet she wasn't even pregnant, just trying to trap him.
Doesn't matter, Josie says solemnly.
You're right, it doesn't, because in a month, you're going to marry him, and as petty as this sounds, you had his baby before she did, so you win. Josie looks up and smiles.
I win.
Yeah, Josie, you win. I signal to the waiter as he passes by. He takes our empty glasses with promises of his imminent return with more fruity drinks. She's on the move. I nod toward the cougar. She's picked up her bag and is walking in the opposite direction of the lifeguard.
He's probably on lunch.
Or he needs to check in with his mom, I say, biting back laughter.
That could be Noah someday. Can you imagine? He's acting more and more like Liam, and it scares me.
He's just testing you, I'm sure.
I hope you're right.
Am I? Who am I to give parenting advice? I know there's something bothering Peyton, but I'm not sure if it's still Mason or something else. Since school has started, she's been more withdrawn and not willing to engage in anything. Aside from watching Noah play football, she sits in her room facing her wall, and it's like I have to force her to be social. Dr. Brooks says it will pass, but I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to wait until I can comfortably start freaking out that my kid is walking around like a zombie. I lose sight of the cougar when the waiter arrives with our drinks. I hold the ice-cold glass in my hands, using it to cool down while I search for her. I don't know what my fascination is with her, but she intrigues me. How does one decide to flirt with a lifeguard, or anyone else for that matter? I failed miserably at it with Harrison, and if it wasn't for his persistent pursuit, I'd be alone right now.
Hello?
I choke on my drink when the cougar speaks to us. I hit my chest, trying to clear my airway. I can hear Josie next to me trying to stifle a laugh.
Hi,
Josie says for the both of us. I set my drink down and covertly wipe my mouth with my towel. I must look like a complete fool.
Mind if I join you?
Josie and I share a glance, both of us conveying, what the hell? Really? We are in a private cabana and she wants to join us. What about all the general population of chaise lounges that are poolside?
Sure,
Josie says. I want to whack her upside her head. The cougar sits down on my chaise,
setting her oversized bag down on the ground. Now that I can see her more clearly, my earlier assumption of her age is far off. The woman sitting on the edge of my chaise is young, mid-twenties, I'm guessing. But she's been weathered, as my mother would say. One too many trips in the tanning bed. So, I'm Alicia. She extends her hand to Josie, and then to me. We shake, and I offer up the fakest smile possible. We are supposed to be relaxing, not entertaining. It's just so nice out today, don't you think? Small talk, too. I wonder if I can ask her about her personal life. Act like I'm writing a book so I can get into the mind of a cougar, and how someone can even hit on a guy that doesn't even look 18. Yes, it's beautiful, Josie says, appeasing our guest. So, Alicia, what do you do? I ask, unable to bite back my curiosity. Different job scenarios run through my mind. I can't see her married to an exec like Josie said, because she doesn't seem to carry herself as an uptight housewife. I lunch, she says. I look quickly at Josie, who shows no expression on her face. What does that even mean? You lunch? I ask. Alicia flips her two-toned blonde and brown hair over her shoulder before tying it high on top of her head in a bun. She moves closer, dragging her bag with her. She sits next to me, acting as if we've been friends for the longest time. I adjust, and not discreetly. I don't know what she wants, but she's making me uncomfortable. I lunch. That's what I do. I have a man that takes care of my needs, and in return, I take care of his. So I wasn't too far off on my assessment. But that's not why I'm here. You see, we have a mutual friend or two. I laugh out loud and have to cover my mouth. There's no way she runs in the same social circle as us. She reaches into her bag and pulls out some papers, holding them in her lap. I think you know him. She hands me a photo and points to the man in the picture. The man just happens to be Harrison, and the photo was taken last night. I look at Josie, whose lips are in a tight line. I don't know what I'm supposed to think here. I'm going to cut to the chase. You have something I want. Well, actually, I own. Harrison and I have history. And you're in the way. Excuse me? My tongue is thick, my jaw clenching. I think you're mistaken here, Josie says before Alicia. Alicia. I look at her full on. I study her face, taking in the shape of her eyes, nose, and lips. I gasp, my hand covering my mouth, my eyes watering as realization sets in. History? I squeak out. Alicia shows me picture after picture of her and Harrison. A few look like they were taken on the red carpet, but I don't remember seeing her. But I also stopped paying attention to him for a few minutes. Another picture is of them embracing, backstage, I'm guessing. He's touching her like he touches me. Picture after picture of them together, and not just from last night. I shake my head. He wouldn't do this. I know he wouldn't. You're lying, I say. Harrison wouldn't go anywhere near you. My words don't seem to faze her in the least. Is that what he told you? Among other things. Sweetheart, you should know never to trust a musician. They only want one thing. Besides, do you really think you have what he needs? I look away, not wanting her to see the effect she's having on me. I think you need to go, Josie says with conviction. Alicia stands, leaving her pictures with me. I'll see you ladies in Beaumont. Harrison assures me I'll just love his house. That's the one you used to live in, right, Josie? We aren't given an opportunity to respond before she steps out of the cabana and disappears. Josie comes over to me and wraps her arms around me. I sob into her shoulder. I knew everything with him was going to fall apart. Everything seemed to fit into place far too easily for us. It was too good to be true. I was right to second-guess my feelings for him. I should have listened to my head when it was screaming at me to stay away from him. But he assured me that we were solid. He lied.
Chapter 31 Harrison I'm bored. I spin on my stool, like I used to do with Quinn when he was little, waiting for inspiration to strike. Liam is at work. He forgot, in all his infinite wisdom, that it takes at least two people to run Josie's store. So he's working with Jenna for the next couple of days. And I sit here, bored. The kids are in school. JD stayed in L.A. I came to work to get my mind off Caitlin and her not being here. But it's not working. All I can think about after waking up next to her is that being alone only solidifies my desire to be a part of her life. I'm not sure what step is next, except for telling the kids. But after that, what happens next? I know that I need to see her every day to feel alive. I just don't know what she wants or needs. I plan to find out, though. I pull my ringing phone out of my pocket. My heart starts beating faster, thinking it's Caitlin. I look at the unfamiliar number and hope soars. Hello? Mr. James. I feel as if my heart suddenly stops beating. The voice on the other end is not Caitlin. I should have known better. We may be sharing ourselves intimately, but we have yet to talk on the phone, and I was hoping that would be rectified. Yes? This is Mr. Lumsden, principal at Beaumont Elementary. Is Quinn okay? I blurt out before he has a chance to tell me why he's calling. Yes and no. I need you to come down and meet with me. When can you be here? I'm on my way. I press end and pocket my phone. I bump into my drums as I move out from behind them. I knew public school was a bad choice, but my mom assured me Quinn would do well. I take the stairs two at a time and run to my car. I take a deep breath before starting it. My phone goes off again. I hit answer without even looking at it. What are you doing right now? Liam asks. I pull out of his driveway and head toward the school. I'm heading to school. Something's wrong with Quinn. Oh boy, Liam says. Listen, the principal just called and said that Peyton needs to come home. Josie and I are her standby when Mr. Powell can't get the girls, and he's not home. I'll let them know you're picking her up. I believe Caitlin added you to the list. My heartbeat picks up again. We should call Caitlin. No, we shouldn't. She needs this vacation, and he didn't say what was wrong, so it might be nothing. Just go get her and take her back to the house. He hangs up before I have a chance to say anything. I try not to think about what both of them could have done for the principal to call, but I'm about to find out. I pull into the parking lot and take the closest spot I can find. I'm not sure my feet even hit the pavement as I run into the school and into the office. Dad! I spin around and find Quinn and Peyton sitting in chairs along the wall. Both of them have their backpacks sitting on the floor. I give Quinn a good hard look. He stands and shakes his head. It doesn't hurt, he says, stepping closer. You have a black eye.
It's my fault,
Peyton says quietly.
No, it's not. Peyton, stop saying that,
Quinn says through gritted teeth. Peyton looks like she's about to cry, which spurs my desire to be there for her. She crosses her arms and looks away from me. I put my hand on Quinn's shoulder and give it a light squeeze. Go sit down. I'll find out what's going on, okay?
You'll be mad.
I sigh and nod. Thanks for the warning, buddy. I walk back to the counter and announce myself to the woman behind the counter.
You can go in and see Mr. Lumsden now.
I remember the days I would spend in the principal's office, waiting for my mom to come and get me. The first few times I would get into trouble, grounded. But those quickly stopped, and all she would do was cry. I couldn't stop her tears, no matter how hard I tried. I knock once and open the door. I'm anxious and want to get the kids out of here. The principal stands and shakes my hand. We both sit. He makes a teepee with his fingers and acts like he's thinking about what he needs to tell me.
Mr. James, there is never an easy way to say this, but your son has been in a fight.
Obviously, I reply, shortly.
We take fighting very seriously here at Beaumont Elementary, and we don't condone violence. Can you tell me what happened?
Mr. Lumsden shakes his head. Sadly, the children are talking. All I've been able to figure out is that there was some name-calling and actions taken with hands. Is he suspended? 3 days. I bite the inside of my cheek. The principal may not be able to figure out what happened, but I will. And what about Peyton Powell? Mr. Lumsden picks up a piece of paper and studies it. It says here that you'll be taking her home? Yes, but I need to know what to tell her mother. Well, Mr. James, she's a mystery. She won't talk to anyone, and has asked that she go home with Quinn. We usually don't oblige students, but she's prone to outbursts, and we feel, in this situation, it's best just to send her home for the day. Got it, thanks, I say, as I get out of the chair. I throw open the door, and both kids jump up. Grab your stuff, let's go, I demand. They both stand, shouldering their backpacks, and follow me out to the car. The ride back to Liam's is quiet, and every time I look in the rearview mirror, they're looking at each other. I can't imagine what they're plotting, but it won't work. They exit the car quietly and follow me in the house. Downstairs, Quinn, I say angrily. Quinn looks at Peyton before she heads into the kitchen. For the life of me, I can't imagine why he would want to hurt another child. He knows how I feel about violence. I flip the switch in the studio, turning on the lights. He passes me and sits down on Liam's stool. I pull JD's stool forward and sit across from him. Spill it. I can't because I made a promise, and you said to always keep your promises. He's right, I did. I've also told you there are exceptions, and this is one of those times. What happened in school today? Quinn looks away from me and sighs. My friend was being bullied on the playground, and I asked the other person, you know, the one being mean, to stop, and he didn't. He was saying all these really mean things, and my friend was crying. The boy touched my friend, and my friend said it hurt, so I hit him. Quinn doesn't look at me when he tells me the story. I think he's probably afraid of what my expression is, or what my reaction is going to be. What he doesn't know is that I'm extremely proud and angry at the same time. Violence is never the answer, but sticking up for your friends is. He knows what I went through, and I made him promise he'd always stick up for those who need help. I tap his leg to get his attention. He turns and looks at me, with tears dripping down his face. I can't be mad at you. I'm disappointed that you turned to violence, but I understand. I don't know what your punishment will be until I've sat and thought about it some more. I get up and pull him into my arms. Everything that I couldn't be when I was younger, he is, and he makes me incredibly proud to be his dad. I sit back down and move his hair from his eyes. Is Peyton hurt? How'd you know it was her? He asks, his face full of shock. Good guess, I say, trying to bite back the smile forming. She doesn't want anyone to know. I nod. Okay, I say, respecting their bond. I want to talk to her, though, so can you go get her for me? Quinn reluctantly gets down from the stool and walks to the door. I'm sorry, Dad. I know, buddy. He exits, leaving the door open. I take these few moments to think about what I can do to help Peyton. Probably not much, but we are more alike than she'll want to accept. I don't even know what I can tell Caitlin without her freaking out and coming home early. She needs this vacation. But if her daughter is being bullied at school, she needs to know so she can deal with it. Peyton appears out of thin air. I didn't even hear her come down the stairs. She stands in the doorway with her arms crossed over her chest. Now that I know what's going on, this stance makes sense. She's protecting herself, and that breaks my heart. Want to come in? She shakes her head no. Okay, I say. I move my stool closer to her and sit down. We can talk right here. She drops her eyes to the floor. Either she really hates me, or she's embarrassed.
I'm going to go with a bit of both, just to cushion my ego. Do you want to tell me what happened today?
You're not my dad.
No, I'm not. And I'm not trying to be. But I want to be your friend, Peyton, if you'll let me.
I have Noah and Quinn.
You do, I agree. They're some pretty great friends, aren't they?
Yes.
Can I tell you a story? Peyton shrugs and still avoids making eye contact with me. So I start my story in hopes that she'll understand that I've been through the same things she's going through now. When I was 4, I lost my dad. On the day he died, he kissed me goodnight and went to work. When I woke up, my mom was crying and she told me that he was gone. I didn't know what that meant until we had his funeral. I was too young to understand that my life had just changed, that everything I knew was going to go away. I had to move from my big house with all my toys and friends that I played with every day to a very small apartment, and was only allowed to bring a few things. A year later, when I started school, I was scared because I didn't know anyone. My friends were all going to a different school. I was alone, and some of the other kids picked up on that. They would pull my hair or make fun of my clothes. They would say hurtful things about my dad and laugh at me when I would cry. This didn't stop until I graduated high school and no longer had to see those people. If you're being bullied, I can help you. I don't want to know who is doing it because there's no use in talking to his parents. Besides, you're more important to me than some idiot kid who thinks it's funny to make fun of people. People like him will get nowhere in life. Peyton finally looks at me. I don't know what I said, but whatever it was, I'm thankful. I reach forward and wipe away her tears. Do you want to know what I used to do when I was younger to get rid of all my anger?
What?
Her tiny, broken voice asks. Come here. I'll show you. I get up and move JD's stool back to where it was, and walk over to my drums. Peyton stands next to me. I pull her closer, lifting her up onto my lap. I thought for sure she'd balk and run away, but she doesn't. I place a drumstick in each hand. She looks at me questioningly. Do you know what the mean kid looks like?
Uh-huh.
Good. Now picture his face on the drum and hit it. Peyton does, but only taps the drum. No, Peyton, I want you to hit it hard. Let it all out on my drums. You can't hurt them, so don't even worry about that right now. Peyton hits the drum again, but barely. Is that all you got? I ask. I pull another set of sticks out and hit the drum hard. I do this over and over again, saying things that make me angry. Peyton tries again, this time much harder. We take turns hitting the drums until she has both sticks pounding down. I sit there, holding her steady in my lap so she doesn't fall forward. When she's done, she drops the sticks and turns in my lap. Her face is red and puffy from tears, and it breaks my heart to see her going through so much pain. I'm so sorry, Peyton. No one deserves this much pain.
Your daddy went to heaven, too?
He did.
Did you cry?
I did. He was my best friend.
So was my daddy.
I know. I pull her into a hug, and she squeezes me as hard as she can. I don't know if this is a turning point for us or not, but right now, I'm willing to accept whatever she needs to dish out, whether it's good or bad. You can come down here any time you want.
You won't be mad?
I shake my head. Not at all. She turns and picks up the sticks and taps them down a few times. She touches the cymbal and laughs at the different noises it makes.
Harrison?
Yes, sweetie?
Will you teach me to play?
My heart soars with relief. I try not to think too much into what she's asking. But if this is a way for us to connect, I'm running with it. Anything for you, Peyton.
Chapter 32. Caitlin. I lose the contents of my lunch. Josie holds my hair back, just as she did when I had morning sickness with the twins. Every time an image flashes in my mind, I heave. I was so stupid to think that Harrison was genuine in his fondness of me. He only wanted one thing, and apparently he didn't just need that from me. The mere thought of him being with her brings up another round of the dry heaves. I'm out. Empty. The burning in my stomach and chest are stark reminders of the pain I've dealt with for over a year now. In one moment, Harrison brought it all back, rushing like water rapids and dragging me under. I wash my mouth out and pat my face dry. I don't want to look at Josie. I don't want to see the sadness etched across her face. I know that look well. No need for a reminder. I leave the bathroom and head to my room. The two-bedroom suite Liam booked is a godsend, as it allows for privacy. Privacy that I didn't think we'd need. I fall onto the bed and bury my hands underneath the pillow. I sob into the pillow, allowing it to muffle the sound. I'm utterly and completely broken. I now know that I moved on too fast. If I had waited, I would have seen his true colors. He would have shown the real Harrison before too long. But no, I gave in. I pursued him, even though that was never my intention. I let him get close. I allowed him to woo me with thoughts of togetherness as a family. He baited me with my children. I was a fool to allow all of this to happen. He's hurt me, and he's going to hurt my children. I can't have a man like this around them. And to think, he had the nerve to tell me he never has any women around Quinn. That's because he'd tell his mother. I can't believe I was so stupid to fall for his charm. There's a knock at the door. I sit up and drag my hands over my face, roughly. I don't care what I look like. This vacation is over. The sooner I get home, the better. A lot of things need to change. Josie walks in with a bottle of wine and two glasses. Even though it's the last thing I want to do. Drinking to forget sounds like a damn good idea right now. She hands me my glass and sits down next to me. I bring the glass to my lips, hesitating for only a moment before tipping my head back and downing the sweet liquid. I hold my glass out and she fills it again silently. I repeat my action, letting the wine drown my sorrows. Josie has yet to take a drink as she sits next to me, refilling my glass. "Do you want to go home?" I scoff. What kind of question is that? The sad thing is, I don't even have an answer. I shake my head. Yes and no. I don't know what I want, except to go back and forget I ever met him. "Caitlin," she says softly, but the underlying tone is there. "Don't you dare defend him, Josie. Just don't. I should have never listened to you or Liam. And now look at me. He's a lying bastard, a cheater, and I don't have time for him in my life." "Caitlin, just listen to me for a minute." She stands and places her glass and the wine bottle on the nightstand. She kneels, taking my empty hand in hers. "I'm not saying anything to defend anyone, but I think you need to look at this with clear eyes." "I am," I bark out. "You're not. Something isn't adding up. Liam wouldn't lie to me. And he's told me many times that Quinn's mom is out of the picture." "Well, obviously Harrison is lying to Liam." "Oh, Caitlin," she says, shaking her head. She stands and takes my wine glass from me. "I'll call the airline and have our flight switched." She's closed my door before I can respond. I never thought in a million years that my best friend would take the side of a man who just ripped my heart out. Nothing about my trip to California will ever make sense. The way Harrison treated me, the way he made love to me like I was the most precious person to him, and the way he told me that he wanted the world to know I had stolen his heart. All lies. He played me like he plays his drums, with perfection. We're a day early, and I know there will be questions. I'm neither ready nor willing to answer them. Josie drops me off in my driveway. I stand there while she pulls away. I stare at Mason's truck, then my car. The girls' toys have been picked up and the lawn mowed, probably for the last time this fall. I drag my suitcase behind me and slide my key into the lock. Twisting the knob, I push the door open.
I hate coming home to a dark house, but no one knows we're back yet. I asked Josie not to say anything to Liam. I don't want Harrison anywhere near me. It's not that I need time to think. I just need time to compose what I'm going to say to him. I flip on the switch. My lower lip quivers as my hand covers my mouth. Hot tears stream down my face. A Welcome Home, Mommy banner hangs in my living room. There are flowers everywhere and a wrapped present on the table. I wipe my face angrily. Why did he do this? I touch the hand-painted letters one by one. The girls have painted their names in the corner. I'm so tempted to take it down, but I can't. It will break their hearts not to see it up tomorrow when we come home. The slamming of a car door alerts me to his presence. Of course he'd be at Liam's house. It was stupid to come home early. I should have stayed in Los Angeles by myself to figure this shit out. The door is open, and he's there before I have a chance to lock it.
What's wrong?
He asks. I want to scream at the top of my lungs that he's what's wrong. But I don't. I shrug and look away.
Caitlin?
I can smell his cologne the closer he gets. He's tentative, moving with caution. Maybe Alicia called and told him about our little run-in. Sure funny how she knew where to find us. I met your girlfriend at the spa.
I don't have a girlfriend,
he says, stopping his ascent toward me.
I mean, other than you.
I'm not your girlfriend.
What's going on, Caitlin?
He asks again. This time he steps behind me, placing his hands on my shoulders.
Don't touch me!
I roar as I spin around. I place my hands on his chest and push. He stumbles briefly before catching himself. Harrison looks at me with confusion. God, he should get a fucking Oscar for this performance. I want to rip his hat off and throw it away, but I don't want to touch him. I don't even want to look at him right now. He looks at me, his eyes glistening. I can't look at him. I shake my head and turn away. You need to leave.
Why?
He asks. His tone is uncertain, questioning. Because I said so. I don't want you here anymore.
Please, Caitlin, I'm freaking out here. You're home early and something is clearly wrong.
Like you don't already know. Did you have this plan from the beginning? Seduce the poor single mom who just lost her husband? Was that your plan? Why don't you tell me how it's supposed to end, so I know what I should expect? Harrison rubs his hands over his face. He takes off his hat and throws it on the couch. He crouches and fingers the ribbon on the present sitting on the table. He's too calm for me right now. Why isn't he fighting for me?
Baby.
I'm not your baby, I reply, grinding my teeth together. Harrison stands and comes over to me, backing me against the wall.
I don't know what the hell has changed your mind, but you need to tell me what the fuck is going on here, Caitlin. Josie showed up bawling her fucking eyes out, and you're not with her. In fact, you're supposed to be at the fucking spa getting pampered and shit, but you're here and something is wrong. So tell me, goddammit, so I can fix it.
His voice is soft and caring, but I know he's doing this on purpose. This is the way he got me into this bed. I met Alicia. Harrison's face turns pale and to stone. He straightens and backs away from me. Now that he knows I know, he has nothing to say. He stands there, not staring at me, but the wall behind me.
How would you even know who she is?
I shrug. I didn't. She found me, I reply sarcastically.
How?
I don't know, Harrison. I'm assuming you paid for her day at the spa, too. Harrison shakes his head. His finger starts playing with his lip. He looks at me, his eyebrows squished together.
I haven't spoken to Alicia since she walked out of my apartment. You know that.
No! I yell as I step forward with my finger pointing at his chest. I know the lie. I know the stories you told me to get me into bed, to get me to trust you. The sad single dad whose girlfriend walked out on him and their baby.
She wasn't my girlfriend, Caitlin. I've told you this.
You lied!
About what?
He roars. He throws his arms up in the air in exasperation.
Why the hell do I need to lie about that shit? Do you think it makes me proud that I was fucking drugged and raped by a groupie and produced a son that I didn't fucking want? What purpose does that serve me?
I saw pictures, I yell louder. You kissed her on the red carpet. I lift my chin higher in defiance. You played me for a fool, and I won't allow it anymore.
I'm so fucking confused right now, Caitlin. I sent you to the spa to get pampered, and you think I sent Alicia there too? That I'm having some torrid affair with the mother of my child, whom I haven't seen since he was born? And what, am I keeping Quinn from her too?
Oh, I'm sure Quinn sees his mother all the time. It just proves to me why you won't kiss me in front of him.
Harrison rakes his hands over his face and lets out a groan. He shakes his head and wipes wildly at his eyes. For some reason, it breaks my heart that he's crying. And it shouldn't.
Caitlin, I don't know what happened at that spa, but I can tell you there are no pictures of me and Alicia, unless they are from the night Quinn was conceived.
I have them, I say as I go over to my bag. I pull them out, disgusted that I'm even touching them. I drop them at his feet. I don't want him to touch me, to pull me into his arms. I don't think I can handle that. He bends and picks them up. He flips through each one before throwing them down on the table.
You know,
he shakes his head before putting his hands in his pockets.
I'm in love with you. But I see now that it's not going to matter.
He bites the inside of his cheek and lets a tear drop.
You believe the lies over me, and that's fine. I told you I thought you were naive when it came to the industry, and this just proves me right. If you can't trust me, this will never work. I just wish I found out sooner.
He picks up the pictures again and hands them to me.
I want you to really look at those and tell me why she's wearing the same fucking dress you were. And tell me how someone that is about 5'7" with heels doesn't even come up to my shoulder.
I don't take the photos from him. He lets them drop to the floor. My eyes follow them as they scatter all over. Of course he'd buy her the same dress I wore so he could use it as an excuse.
I don't know how she found you, but I'm so fucking sorry that she did. You don't deserve this, and frankly, neither do I. I haven't been with another woman since the night I met you at Liam's. I'm not going to stand here and try to fight for something you don't believe in. I have a feeling I'll be wasting my breath.
I take a chance to look at him. And wish I hadn't. He doesn't bother to wipe away his tears. I hate that he's crying, but he deserves it for what he's done to me. When he moves toward the door, I don't try to stop him. I won't. I need to close this chapter and move on. The door opens, letting in a gust of wind.
If you don't believe me, ask Quinn. He's never met his mother. He'll tell you that.
I scoff. I can't believe you would drag your son into this. Harrison stalks over to me.
I wouldn't, but you're leaving me no choice, Caitlin. You'd rather believe her fucking lies than me, the man you've given yourself to, the man you said you'd try with. This isn't fucking trying. This is bailing. You're looking for any damn excuse to shut me out, and you've done that. You want to trust someone you don't fucking know? Good luck with that. You need to open your eyes and look at those pictures and tell me what you see.
You need to leave. Harrison shakes his head as he moves away from me, toward the door.
Last chance,
he says. I don't know what that means, and I don't care.
Go,
I say loudly. He turns and steps out, slamming the door hard. It bounces back open from the force. The window rattles and the girl's pictures fall from the wall. I jump when the glass shatters and hits the ground. I slide to the floor, clutching my knees to my chest. And sob. Everything is ruined.
Chapter 33. Harrison. I made the mistake of stopping at the store before heading home. The thought of sitting in my empty house alone did not sit well with me. Except now I sit in my empty house alone, hurt and drunk. And I think I've broken my hand, but that's neither here nor there. I flex my fingers into a fist and back out again. The pain is a dull ache now, but that's likely to be from the amount of beer I've consumed. The bottles are lining up nice and perfect on my coffee table. I don't know how long I've been sitting here, but the sun is up. That can't be a good sign. I tip my newest bottle back and take in the contents in one swig. I set the bottle down next to the others and lean back. Each bottle mocks me. From the first to the last, each one is laughing at me. Her words replay over and over in my head. I met your girlfriend. I met your girlfriend. I met your girlfriend. If I knew how to get a hold of Alicia, I would. Not that I'd know what to say. It's not like we have history. I know nothing about her except that she's an evil, conniving bitch, hell-bent on making my life hell. We weren't a couple. We weren't in love. We didn't have a falling out and decide to go our separate ways. That's what Caitlin doesn't understand. I haven't seen her since the day she left Quinn with me. My last image of her is her retreating backside as she hightailed it out of my apartment. She believes the lies. Every single one of them. And for the life of me, I can't understand why Alicia would say those things, or make the time to doctor the photos to show us together. This would all make sense if Alicia and I had broken up recently. I can see a woman scorned, making up some shit, but this doesn't make sense. I pop the top off another beer, and realized I'm almost out, which is very unlucky for me. It's not like I can go down to the store to get some more. I don't think I can even make it to the bathroom without falling over. I down the contents, as my heart kindly reminds me that I cried in front of her. I fucking cried like a goddamn baby. Worse yet, it didn't even faze her. She didn't care. She just wanted me out of her house. And I left. I left because I can only take so much rejection. I lay back and close my eyes. She flashes before me. She's smiling one minute, and the next, she's kicking me out of her house and out of her life. Tears seep down my face. I hate it. I hate myself for crying over her. I should know better. The clanking of bottles wakes me. I roll over suddenly. Mistake. I groan and hold my head as I try to sit up. My eyes are blurry, laden with sleep. It's dark out, which means I've slept the day away. Liam comes into view. He's carrying a garbage can and picking up my bottles. "I'll do that," I croak out. "I got it," he says shortly. I stand, weary that I consumed an abundance of alcohol. I make my way to the bathroom. I shut the door and lean against it, exhausted. My hand throbs and is black and blue. I have to lean my head against the wall while I relieve myself. I can barely stand on my own. Clearly I'm still drunk or extremely hungover. I drag myself back into the living room, which is now clean. I sit down next to Liam, who's flipping through my newest drum magazine. I don't know why he's here. Maybe Caitlin went and told him that I walked out on her. "Quinn wants to know when he can come home," he says nonchalantly. I look at him like he has three heads. "What are you talking about?" "Quinn's been at my house for 2 days now. I guess he's a bit anxious and wondering what happened to his dad." "Fuck!" I yell. I rake my hand over my face, pulling at my hair. I've never left him, at least not unintentionally. I've always made him a priority. And now look at me. Some chick breaks up with me and I forget about my son. Guess I'm not making Dad of the Year anytime soon. "I'll go get him." "Not yet," he says. He sets the magazine down and stands. "We need to go to the hospital first and have your hand looked at." I look down and shake my head. "It's fine. I'll go after. I just want to get Quinn." I turn and look out the window and imagine Caitlin walking up to the door. "I think I'm going to head back to L.A. for a bit." "Well, Quinn can stay with us." "Nah, man, it's cool." I turn back and look at him and shrug. Liam steps forward. "Don't do this, Harrison." "Why not? You going to tell me she's not worth it? Because we both know that's bullshit, and I'm not going to stay around here where I'm not wanted." I kick the chair next to me and watch it fall to the ground. "She'll figure it out."
"Jesus Christ, Liam! There's nothing to figure out! She believes some fucking whore that she doesn't even know over me. I spent so much time trying to show her that she can trust me. And for what? So some two-bit bitch can tell her otherwise?"
Liam shakes his head. I don't mean to take all this out on him, but he's here and he's going to defend one of his oldest friends. I just don't want to be where I'm not wanted. She doesn't have to spell it out. She was very clear. Something's wrong.
You think? I roar. I love that woman, and she dismissed me like yesterday's trash over some bullshit photos. Something's wrong, all right, and the answer's in L.A. I'm going to find Alicia and find out what she wants.
I think it's Sam.
What?
I think this is all Sam's doing.
The tour, yes, I'll give you that, but she doesn't know Alicia.
How do you know? I ponder his question for a moment, realizing that I don't know. I don't remember anything from the night that I met Alicia.
Fuck me. Are you serious?
Come here. Let me show you something. I follow him into the kitchen and pull out the chair next to him. The pictures that Caitlin threw at me, along with some others, are spread out on the table. I pick up one of Caitlin and me and shake my head.
How can she think I want anyone but her?
I toss the picture down. Women are easily influenced. Remember when I told you about Sam stopping by the shop and talking to Josie? Josie went nuts and demanded that I give her Noah. When she finally told me what was going on, I couldn't believe she'd listen to Sam. But I know why she did.
Yeah, but why would Caitlin listen to Alicia? She kept calling her my girlfriend and said I was cheating.
I set my head in my hands and instantly wish I didn't.
Fuck, this hurts.
I told you. I shake my head.
How did you know?
The hole in the wall was all the evidence I needed.
Perfect.
Anyway, after Caitlin came over yesterday, I started piecing some shit together. I went back through old band photos from the early days. Shit Sam used to bug me with, and I found one of you and Alicia. He hands me the photo. I stare at her, cognizant that this is really the first time I'm seeing her since that fateful day. She's a blur in my life, but now I have something to show Quinn if he ever asks. Sam took these. He hands me a stack of Alicia and I from the night we made Quinn. I can see a lot of Quinn in her, with her smile and the way her nose wrinkles when she's laughing. If circumstances were different, I'd probably date her. And I don't know who took this one, but I'm willing to bet Sam didn't expect me to have it. Liam hands me a photo. He doesn't need to say anything. The picture speaks for itself.
Is that money?
I ask. Looks like it.
Why would Sam give Alicia money?
Liam shrugs. To drug you.
Son of a bitch.
I get up and pace. Every part of me hurts right now, and there isn't shit I can do about it. It seems, ever since I met Sam Marino, my life has been nothing but turmoil. If it wasn't band business, she was up in my personal life like she owned me. And maybe she did, and I was just too dumb to understand my contract. I don't know, but drugging someone and having it result in a pregnancy is the lowest someone can go. Seems like it wasn't just Liam's life she was hell-bent on ruining.
This doesn't help me.
I know. Liam sighs. But at least we know why Alicia did what she did.
Do we? I don't know shit, except that Alicia somehow knew where to find Caitlin and gave her a bunch of phony photos.
That's not all. I stop in my tracks and look out the window. Liam clears his throat.
What else?
Josie says that Alicia told Caitlin that you guys are still together. I nod. I figured as much. With some of the things Caitlin was saying to me.
Thing is, Liam, Quinn doesn't know Alicia, so if I'm in some type of relationship with his mom, don't you think she'd be around?
I push off the counter and walk back over to the photos.
Show me the years of pictures of us together as a couple. Wouldn't we ever venture out of the house as a family?
I lean over the table, careful not to put any pressure on my hand.
She believes this, not me.
So what? You're going to leave? You're going to take Quinn out of school and go back to L.A.?
I came here for her and she doesn't want me.
It would be one thing if we hadn't been together. But I'm in love with her, and I can't... I won't sit by and watch her be with someone else.
You love her?
You know I do.
I know, but this is the first time you've admitted it.
Liam sighs, and I know he's thinking about what the future is going to hold for the band.
Can you at least do me a favor?
Sure, I agree.
Wait until after the wedding. It's just a few weeks away, and I could use my best friend here, especially after Josie dropped a bomb the other night.
I nod. Staying until the wedding is the least I can do.
What did she say?
Nick's back, and we're having dinner with him and his new wife.
Liam doesn't wait for my reaction. He starts packing up the photos. He leaves a few of the ones of Alicia and me on the table. I don't know whether I should thank him or not, but I suppose it will be nice when Quinn asks about her. I can at least show him a picture of the both of us before the night turned into a haze.
Anyway, he's back, and Josie wants to be friendly. I want to hate the guy, but can't because my son likes him, and bitched all throughout football on how bad it sucked that Nick wasn't his coach.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to go to dinner and play nice in the sandbox.
Lucky you, I say, ducking before Liam can hit me with the box of photos.
I arrive at Liam and Josie's with my hand wrapped in a nice black cast. Liam is going to love it. I'll have to find a way to either play with one hand or figure out how to hold my drumstick. Somehow I think taking a break isn't an option. Quinn jumps into my arms as soon as I'm through the door. He holds me tight. His head is pushing into the crook of my neck. I've never done this to him. He's always known where I am and when I'll be home.
I'm sorry, Quinn. I should have called.
It's okay, Dad. I was scared, though.
I know, buddy. I won't do it again, I promise.
He looks at me, his eyes puffy. I can tell he's been crying. He may look tough on the outside with his black eye, but deep down he's still just a little boy. He leans in and whispers,
"Peyton is downstairs waiting for you."
"Do you mind if I go down there?"
He shakes his head. I set him down and ruffle his hair.
"What happened?"
he asks, and he looks at my cast. "Very stupid adult stuff," I say with a shrug. He'll see the damage at home and ask why. I won't lie to him, but there's not much to tell. It's not like he knew Caitlin and I were together. I never got the chance to tell him. "I'll be back in a bit, or just come downstairs when you're ready." I walk into the studio and find Peyton banging on my drums. She's wearing headphones that are too big for her, but she's having fun. She smiles at me. I have to paste on a smile because it's killing me that I'm not going to be a part of her life anymore.
"What you doing?" I ask, pulling up a stool next to her.
"I'm practicing."
"Well, you sound wonderful."
I'm rewarded with yet another smile, something I've rarely seen from her.
"Harrison?"
I look up to find Noah and Quinn standing in the doorway.
"What's up?"
"We have an idea, and we need your help."
Noah and Quinn step into the studio and shut the door. Noah tells me their idea, and I ask Quinn and Peyton if the both of them, as well as Elle, are in on this. They nod. I can't help but smile at how enthusiastic they are, and agree to help them.
Chapter 34. Caitlin.
"You've come back early. Why?"
Mr. Powell hands me a cup of coffee. I was only in Los Angeles for a few days, but the temperature difference is enough that I'm cold, even though I love Beaumont in the winter. I miss the girls. That is what I'm going with. He doesn't need to know the sordid details of what happened with Harrison and me. Truth is, I'm not sure how to explain it. All I know is my heart is breaking all over again. But I have vowed to myself that I'm not going to let it affect me. I need to be strong, for the girls. This bump, or whatever you want to call it, will pass.
They missed you, especially Elle.
Not Peyton? Mr. Powell leans forward and sets his cup on the table.
Peyton is hurting, Katie, and she'll do whatever she can to make you suffer for it. She spent most of her time in Mason's room, and when I'd check on her, she'd ask me to tell her a story. I spent a glorious day remembering my son with his daughter.
I wipe at my face. Listening to Mr. Powell talk about Mason and Peyton makes me ache to see Mason just one more time, to tell him how I feel and how much we love him.
Elle talks about Harrison a lot, he adds.
My heart stops at the sound of his name. It's been 2 days, and he hasn't called. I half expected him to show up this morning to mow my lawn, but I guess I severed that relationship when I told him to leave. Does that bother you? Mr. Powell shakes his head.
I thought it would, but she speaks so highly of him that I'm proud you found someone to help fill the void that Mason has left.
I'm left silenced. I don't know how to respond. I sip my coffee, thinking about how I can change the subject. I can't tell him that I've ended things with Harrison. I just can't.
I think you and the girls should move in here.
What? I choke out.
This is too much house for me. It's a 4-bedroom home, and I can't maintain it. I don't want to sell it either. So the only logical thing is for you and the girls to move in, and when you take the next step with Harrison, he and his son will fit nicely in here. This house needs a family, not an old man.
His words throw me. I never thought he'd be accepting of another man the way he is, and to suggest that we live together blows me away. I don't know what to say. He smiles, although it doesn't reach his eyes.
You say yes.
Where will you go? Mr. Powell rubs his hands down the legs of his pants.
I was thinking of traveling some, or I could live at your place.
We're really pregnant.
Very, I say, showing him the picture.
Why does the baby have 2 heads?
I shake my head. Sometimes he's the poster child for dumb football players, I swear. Twins, I say quietly. We can't afford 1 baby, let alone 2.
I made 2 babies?
I roll my eyes. Yes, Mason. Your superhuman sperm created not 1, but 2 babies that have taken over space in my body. Mason fist pumps. I don't think he understands the magnitude of what's happening here. You know 2 babies means double everything.
I know. I can count.
Of course you can. I sit down on the couch and cradle my head. I don't know how we're going to make it. We live in a 2-bedroom apartment with Josie and Noah. There's no way we can add 2 more of everything there. We have to move. Mason sits down next to me and pulls me to him.
I talked to my dad the other day. He and Mom suggested we move into the house until we can save for a down payment on our own place. He says that we can take what we'd spend in rent and put it away.
Is that what you want to do? The thought of living with the Powells doesn't exactly appeal to me, but living with them is better than living with my parents. Mason shrugs.
I don't know. Think about it. Mom would be there to help with the babies, and you know she wants to.
I nestle into the side of his neck. His thumb is moving back and forth along my abdomen. We'll never have alone time. Mason adjusts and pulls me into his lap.
Seriously? I'm fairly sure you and I have had a lot of alone time in that house. For all we know, these guys were created there.
He pulls up my shirt and kisses my stomach. If you think we should move to your parents' home, then I'm okay with it.
I do. Just think about how much fun Mason Jr. and Mason Jr. Jr. will have there.
Oh my God, Mason, we are not naming our children that. I punch him lightly in the shoulder. He pulls me into a hug. I cling to him as if it's the last time I'll hug him like this. You know the girls spent their first Christmas here.
And others, he adds.
After Mason died, I realized I wasn't going to be able to make the house payments by myself. And Liam helped. He told me that I can't lose the house that holds all of their memories of Mason. But this is where we brought them home, too.
You'll move in?
I smile widely. We'd be honored. I sit in my car and stare at his house. It's dark, and his car isn't in the driveway. I suppose I'm thankful he's not home, because getting caught lurking in the shadows is something I definitely don't want to happen. I don't know what I'm doing out here, what I thought I'd find. I feel as if I've deceived Mr. Powell. I should have told him that Harrison and I are no longer together,
but I couldn't bring myself to say the words. They sound easy in my head, but I'm not capable of saying them out loud.